Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Down the blind, Andrew John. Inside for Elba. Elba will score. Elba will score. Newcastle have won.
Whisperer, welcome back. How are we going, mate?
I feel like we should have pressed record about an hour ago, mate. We've just been sitting here.
Oh, mate, we've done some time.
Absolute rubbish for the last hour.
Done some time. Tell me, how'd you go this week? Did you get Pappy as you see?
I did, mate. I did. I'm pretty happy with a 15-11. Had a Cecilia Tupou.
How good?
Four. Yeah, Cecilia Tupou a 4 in there kind of hurt. There was the chance for him to go huge. And when I saw Stan Walker put... what's his name?
Butcher.
Over for him. I was like, oh, that could have been Satili. I could have been looking at 1600, but you'll take a 1500 every day of the week. The rank moves up to 1050. So heading in the right direction. So I think you scored a little bit less, but the overall ranks around the same.
Yeah, I scored 1400. So my rank now 1892. So all is restored as it should be in the universe with the Whisperer over the top of the Guru. It's about time.
It was getting scary times after 4 weeks, mate. But look, the team's finally coming together. Like I said to you before we started recording, it's going to be nice to have a team be full strength for once. I think every week I've had, bar round one, someone's been injured. So hopefully we can start stringing together some consistent performances.
Tell me about trades you were considering this week and what trades have you settled on, mate?
So Cecilia Tupou comes out. Look, I'm not too sure what's going to happen with him. He's been named it to start, but we know the Roosters concussion policy. I could definitely see him dropping out an hour before kickoff. So with the 110 break even, I'm not wanting to ride it too much. So he comes out. I bring in young Jackson Tapine. Bit of question marks over him and his eligibility to play long term. I think he's being exempted for Jeremy Marshall King. And he's holding out guys like Joe Stimson off the bench. So Trent Barrett obviously rates him highly, and hopefully he can stay on that bench, play 35, 40 minutes, get a couple of good price rises, and we can move him on. The next trade is Canberra winger Bailey Simonson. He's out that break even, starting to creep up around 30 and just hasn't looked like scoring a try. So he's out, and we bring back in Brian Kelly, who's back from that hand injury.
Yeah, I think I'll be bringing in Brian Kelly as well. One guy I want to ask you about, mate, Cronulla Sharks back rower Tyge Wilton. Pretty impressive score over the weekend. Did a lot of work.
Yeah, he scored 44 in 41 minutes the week before, and then obviously 70-odd with a try on the weekend. I was looking at him, but then I realised that Nakora's back next week, and yeah, he might drop to the bench. That's great, but then we also got the dilemma of Sifa Talakai coming back as well. So I think minutes might be a bit scarce. I don't see John Morris dropping Aiden Tolman. So I guess Jack A. Williams could drop out of the side, but I think it's for 250K, it's a bit of a punt when you can go someone like a Ben Condon. Obviously didn't have a great game, but 50, 60K cheaper.
Welcome to the Condon Fan Club, my friend.
Mate, I was death riding
him. I remember last week and you told me you'd never even consider him. A lot happens in a week.
I'm still not considering, but people that are looking at Wilton, I definitely would recommend Condon.
Nah, it's good to hear you say his name. I like it. Mate, we've got some questions sent in by the listeners. First one, ask him why his classic team isn't as good as the Wizards draft side. Who on earth is the Wizard, my friend?
I've got no clue.
That's from NRL Bloomers. I'm not sure who they are.
It's from the Bloomers, right. Mate, they're great blokes. Outside of the weekly rubdown, I think the Bloomers are putting out some great draft content, but they're full of it on this one.
Mate, a common question here that I've got from a lot of people, is it time to hold some trades? I imagine a lot of people that if they have kicked off their season pretty well, they've used, you know, six or eight or whatever trades it is right now, if you use the max, should people be starting to pull back a little bit if they can?
No, if anything, I'd start ramping up, in all honesty. I mean, Origin's coming around the corner. We say that it's 2 months away, but it's got to be in the back of your mind. Start building a team for your first bye week. You're not going to field a team of 17. You're probably going to have 13, 14. I've personally used 8 trades myself. But I guess it's a question that goes hand in hand with the cash cows. Like, do you have to jump on every cash cow that comes available? Like, I've missed a Schuster train and have no plan on getting him. Matt Moylan produced the goods for me last week. So, look, if you're looking at your team thinking, what do? Then I think you don't make the trades. If you have pressing issues like injuries, obviously that's when it comes into account.
Mate, let me ask you this one from Andrew Corto. Do I trade New or Saab? I think I know the answer to this one, but hit me with it.
I posted on Twitter the other day, do I have enough Saab out already? But look, he's 200K, his break even's like nothing. He's got a fall over the line. But Tessie New is a safe 45 and he plays Origin. So if it was me, I'd be getting rid of Saab. But yeah, look, it's either or. New's still got some growth, I feel.
Mate, I don't think I've ever felt less confident in saying he's got to fall over the line at some point. I don't think that mob knows where the line is.
I'd love to have a look at his like anytime try score pricing because I feel like you could get some.
You're getting ripped decent... off, whatever it is.
Mate, look, he's the Braden Williamie of last year, isn't he? Like, it's just Saab's the kind of guy that could score a try and score 20 points. It's just ridiculous.
Yeah, I've seen enough of Saab for me. I never had him, thankfully. But, mate, the next question from Max. He says, when is the right time to sell cheapies whose prices are growing? For example, and this is a common one, Jacob Little. And this is one that I've been thinking about as well. When do we start to think about selling Little?
When the break-even probably exceeds, I would say, for Little. I'd say when the break-even's getting over that 50 range. I think Little is a great reserve option this week, actually. There's no recognized backup 9 on the bench. Obviously, Jake Simkin is named on the extended bench, but if he's not brought into the side, Little's going to play 80. We know that when he plays 80, he's a safe 50. But as for that, it's when the break-evens get too high. I do post break-evens every week Wednesday on my page, so check that out. But yeah, it's a hand-in-hand situation as to when to sell. It's when the break-even probably meets up with his average.
Mate, Pat Turner asked, David Fifita or Brian To'o, who's the better get this week?
Oh, I've got this question a million times today as well. It's going to be controversial, but I think Brian To'o is a must. I think you can get away with not having Fifita for a week or two, but I think every good side is going to have Brian To'o. I'm in a league and we're ranked the 10th best league in the comp, and I think 17 of us have To'o out of 20. So he's just at the foundation. Like, he's not going to average as much as Fifita, but he just gives you that solid 4 in your center wings you need. So Fifita's one to look at with Mitch Barnett maybe dropping back to 13 when Lachlan Fitzgibbon comes back into the side. That's a good point to switch them around. But I would definitely be saying To'o is probably the buy of the week.
Mate, a lot of questions about this guy. Probably the best time to bite it while we're talking about center wings. Brian Kelly, a guy that we've both been big fans on. I know that you're bringing him in this week. To me, I'm looking at their draw and whatnot. I think it's a great time to bring in Brian Kelly.
Yeah, look, a lot of people are wondering why experienced players are jumping up and down over Kelly. He's a 500K center wing who scored 47 last time he played, and that doesn't look fantastic, but 47, he did nothing. A similar mold to To'o. He's going to play the first bye week, and that draw coming up is phenomenal. I feel like if he can stay injury-free, he's going to be up there with To'o as near must-haves.
From Dav G, I just traded Walker for Munster. Have I made the right choice? What are your thoughts on this one?
I think this is very, very sideways. I think Cody Walker is just a hold. I mean, people were happy to hold Angus Crichton for a week. They're happy to hold Nathan Cleary for a week. I don't understand why we're jumping off the Cody Walker train after a 1 week suspension, personally. So Munster hasn't been overly impressive, has he? Hopefully Harry Grant coming back frees him up, but I haven't been impressed by Munster at all.
Brings us to our next question about Harry Grant. Do you see him starting this week? Personally, I think we're probably looking at 2, maybe 3 weeks, him coming off the bench. The game's faster than ever. I would be bringing him off the bench. What are your thoughts?
I mean, even if he is named to start at 9, I don't think it's going to change. I think he's going to play a similar split to with the Cheese, whether he plays 9 or 14. It's great for super coaches because we get 3 weeks for him to dip in price. We can pick him up for a potential Brayley switch or a Little if you've held him that long. So, look, I wouldn't be looking at Grant as a buy just yet. Wait for that price to come down the exact same as someone like a Payne Haas.
Mate, the next question comes from Luke. He asks, Mitch Barnett, is he a long-term option? Obviously, we've got the other back row up there, Fitzgibbon, returning soon. That's worrying a few people. We've got Kalen Ponga potentially goal-kicking. What do you see long-term with Barney?
It's hard. Like, I think Barney's going to be like a 62 to 63-point scorer when he moves back to lock. It's whether you want to hold that, or you can swap into someone like a Tohu Harris. It's probably going to get you 5 or 6 more points. It's a bit of a luxury trade. I think the end game is going to be Crichton for Fafita, and then whoever you take the pick of between Lolo, Barnett, and Tohu Harris. I think that's the long-term goal for your second row forwards. So it's a case of, do you trust the base? I said to you today in private messages, he's a much better goal kicker than Kalen Ponga, but I guess it's a case of KP's ego. I know that Barry Tui, who is the spokesperson for Newcastle Knights footy, has said that KP's probably going to kick, which is worrying. And then obviously Fitzgibbon's back in round 7 or 8. So that would see him to the edge, and you'd think Barnett back to lock. What does that say for Connor Watson as well? So it's got a bit of a roll-on effect. I think Newcastle for Supercoach stocks is going to be a little bit of a weird time in the next 3 or 4 weeks.
Brings us to our next question from Brett, asking about Connor Watson, obviously playing 5-8 this week. Obviously more opportunities for attacking stats, I guess, but for me, I think his base will be down a little bit. Are you playing Connor Watson this week if you have him?
I have to play him, unfortunately. I ran the gamble of running Moylan Watson as my 5-8s. I'm not confident on Moylan's matchup against the Roosters. So look, I'm playing Watson. He's got a -4 break even. I wouldn't be rushing to sell him too heavily. And he's still got that 100 in his average from last week. So he's got at least another 2 weeks of fantastic price rises. But yeah, look, with the news that Fitzgibbon's back, I think that's going to spell Watson to the bench. Then who knows? Last time he played 5-8, it was obviously round 1 against the Bulldogs. He put Mitch Barnett over for a try. I think the base is going to be around 20-25, but it's those attacking stats we're going to need.
Mate, another question here from Nathan, funnily enough. Jermaine Asako, is he a sell or are we keeping him for a little bit longer?
30 break even from memory. Look, if you can get away with not playing him, fantastic. But look, I'd hold for a week. If it's the only way to get Brian Kelly or Brian Potter, then I would be selling. But if you jumped on the Asako train, it's been a fantastic cash cow. I think it's 120K that you can bank. Another one of these guys that I'm getting a lot of questions about is Fergo. I think Fergo's got a bit of a trap written on him. You're paying top dollar for a guy that needs tries. So yeah, look, I'd like to sell Asako next week if you held him, but I don't begrudge the sale this week.
The next question from Lachlan, same category. Dylan Walker, though, are we selling? Are we holding? What do you reckon?
I'll be brutally honest. I haven't looked at his break even at all. He just doesn't excite me as a footballer, does he? Like Morgan Harper's back. I would very much expect if another poor game from Walker happens, we'd see Harper move back to fullback. Turbo's only a couple of weeks away as well. So, yeah, I think stocks on Dylan Walker at an all-time low. I would be dumping him and trying to free up cash elsewhere.
Tell me about Dane Laurie, mate. Is he a keeper? This is a question I've had a couple of times here. Is he going to be a long-term option now?
I think Dane Laurie's going to be a fantastic fifth centre wing option at the back end of the year. The Tigers have a brilliant run home after Origin. They played the first bye week as well. He's just getting his hands in a lot, which is what you want to see from a fullback. It might not be translating to huge scores, but yeah, look, as a fourth or fifth centre wing option, I think you could definitely be doing worse than Dane Laurie.
What about Jordan Rickey, mate? How much longer are we holding on to him for?
Post-Origin, for me, the bloke's 55 every day of the week, and he'll play the first bye week, and then after that, I feel you can dump him, and he's not going to lose you a lot of cash. He might peak, and you lose maybe 50K, but he's playing that first bye week, which is crucial, and he's a safe 55. I think he scored 54 or 55 against Melbourne. The same with Tessie New. He scored 47 against Melbourne as well, so exciting times for those two.
Mate, you're making my job very easy here. You just mentioned Origin. That's my next question. When do you start State of Origin planning?
I don't really origin plan, quote unquote. It's in the back of my mind always, but it's never going to be the make or break. If I'm choosing between player A and player B and player A plays the first week, I'll go him, obviously. But I'm not looking to tear my team apart to make sure I have a side. We do get 5 trades as well before Origin happens to help our team out. So remember that. But look, yeah, as I said before, don't expect to be playing 17 players each week. During that origin period, if you can get 12, 13, 14 guys, you'd be on par with the competition.
Mate, just a question from me. We obviously spoke earlier, and I'd just like you to share it on the podcast. How close are you to getting your absolute dream team right now?
I'm probably 6 or 7 guns away. So I would say 10 weeks, 10 to 12 weeks away from my dream team. My plan is always to leave myself about 6 or 7 trades to last me 10 weeks. I run 18 to 19 plays and that's it. It makes VCing a lot easier. It makes an AE a lot easier as well when you've got reliant guns. You'd know this from yourself with draft. Obviously, draft is a much smaller player pool to choose from, and then you can just run three nuffs off the bench and run an AE in your team. So, look, end of year preparation, we'll talk about it later in the season. It's pretty crucial. A lot of guys run a nuff in their starting 17 as well. So it's, yeah, look, get an idea of your ideal team and then start making trades towards that.
Who are the guns that are left on your hit list?
Harry Grant and or Damien Cook, whoever performs better. They'll probably partner Jaden Brayley for the run home. Looking at Payne Haas, if Kevy Walters is going to ask him to play bigger minutes, I'm going to need someone to partner TKO. If Payne Haas isn't that man, then I'll probably look at someone like a Clemmer. In the second row, David Fifita is a guy that I want to be getting in to partner Angus Crichton. And then it's going to be a luxury trade between him and Tohu Harris or Jason Tamalolo. At halfback, I'm happy just to run one. I'm happy just to run Nathan Cleary, and I'll nuff Sam Walker out eventually. 5/8, I think I'm going to run Munster and Luai, or potentially Walker, depending on the draw coming home. Centre wings, I'm nearly done. My centre wings right now are Brian Kelly, Brian To'o, Blake Ferguson, Dane Gagai, Dane Laurie. I could potentially be looking at getting a Daniel Tupou in and a David Nofaluma with his run home. And then fullbacks I've set with Pappy and Tedesco.
Mate, you mentioned there Jerome Luai. My next question, is he on the same tilt now as Munster and Walker? I mean, it was these two daylight than everyone else when the preseason kicked off. He's probably stepped into that elite category now, hasn't he?
Yeah, mate, dropped a podcast on this exact topic a couple of days ago. I think I titled A New Sheriff in Town. And that's exactly what Luai is. He's just belted the door down. He finished last year phenomenally. I think he had an average of 82 or 83 in the last five rounds. And it looks like it's kicking on. Nathan Cleary is playing that organizing role, but still pumping out points, which is fine. Like, you'll never look at selling Cleary. But Jerome Luai is just really attacking that left-hand side. And the more they go to him, the more they go to kick out. Definitely going to help. Look, if the outside backs for the Panthers have a great game, then Luai has scored great as well.
Mate, one out of the cannon here. Munster, Walker, Luai. If there's one of them that you're not allowed to have for the rest of the year, who would you choose?
I want to say Cody Walker because he probably has the worst floor out of the three of them, but who holds a Supercoach record, you know? So it's one of those. But I say Munster hasn't been impressive Supercoach scores-wise, but as a guy that doesn't own him, it's a hard watch watching these Melbourne games because he just looks like he could go off at any time. Look, if we're playing the pod game, I'm having Luai and then one of the other two because Luai is such a low ownership play compared to the other two.
Who are your captain's options this week? Obviously, Ryan Pappenhausen, he's the standout for me. If you're not going Pappy, who are some other options?
I don't think there's captain options this week. I think it's captain option and that's it. I see Pappenhausen being a 30% ownership. I'll be brutally honest with you, mate. I haven't looked at other captain options because I don't think there's a need to personally. This is the week I feel that your captain isn't going to set you apart. It's going to be your pod guys personally. So for me, Pappenhausen is it for me.
Are we going to break into the top 1,000 this week or what?
I'm like 200 points out of the top 100, but I'm also like 200 points out of the top like 10K. So I'm just going to try and maintain ground. I know that my origin planning is going to get me up there. If I'm hovering around 1K come origin, I definitely feel like I could crack in to that top 500 because I feel like that's where the really good Supercoach players, as you'd know, set themselves apart during that origin period. And that's why last year, I think, was a bit of a fluke year for guys.
For sure. Losing origin last year did massive overs for people, didn't it?
Yeah, and it also rewarded the guys that were very gun happy with their trades. Like, if you had one gun that had a poor week, it was a pretty easy swap. You had two trades every week, whereas this week we have on average 1.4 trades a week, and that is with the five trades as well. So it's going to be grim, and that's why after Origin is when I'm trying to get my team set as soon as possible and minimize the trades coming home.
Whisperer, thanks for joining us once again, mate. Best of luck this week. Hopefully we catch you next week and you're in the top 1K.
Hopefully, mate. If not, it's grim times.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.